an insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Hope you ate turducken. Oh, there it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
J.K. Dobbins, remember him? Now part of the Indianapolis Colts. It's interesting here. Reading the story, because Vinny, you know more about this than I would. He goes, I don't understand any of this NFL franchise and the different levels of tags. Running back J.K. Dobbins and wide receiver, excuse me, not with the Colts. J.K. Dobbins, wide receiver Elijah Moore received the seldom used unrestricted free agent tender from the Bolts, the Chargers, and the Browns, according to the NFL transaction tag yesterday. With the tender applied, both players will still apply to the compensatory draft formula for the 26th draft if they sign with another team before July 22nd. If they do not sign with another team before that date, then the Chargers and Browns will then hold their exclusive negotiation rights. The tender is worth the tender value, 110% of the player's previous salary. For Dobbins, tender is worth approximately $1.1 million. For Moore, tender is worth $3.43 million.
So the Chargers put that tender on?
Yeah, so they haven't signed with anybody yet. That's who they were with last year. I mean, and Chargers have brought in running back, so he's probably going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And Elijah Moore. You know, Dobbins did rush for over 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns, but
it was a good year. Like, everybody that wanted a back probably got a back, Bob, you know, whether it be first or second. And you're talking about Dobbins, who's hurt a lot. So he would be very scary, you know, to go get.
Because Chargers brought in Najee Harris from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and they drafted the kid from Carolina, Hampton.
Yes.
So J.K. Dobbins isn't.
No, he's done there. Yeah. He's done there. And Gus Bus probably retire. You know, I mean, Gus Bus not going to get any other opportunities either. So it's too bad for Dobbins, you know, because he's had success when he's been healthy, but he does get hurt a lot.
Yeah, and he was a 2000 draft pick. So tread on that running back tire, you know, gets a little low. 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, he's 5 years.
Yeah, he's 5 years in, but he's had Achilles, knee.
He's had a lot of stuff.
So he's a little older than the birth certificate says. Moore caught 61 passes for 538 and a touchdown with Cleveland. He visited the Bills on Monday. So there you go. They signed elsewhere. Chargers get a little compensation rolling there. Good for them, being all shrewd and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, do they ever... I mean, eventually... So that means he's on their roster, I would bet, right?
Well, he's a free agent, but they tagged him.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one, Bob, be totally
the
honest.
The unrestricted free agent tag. Anyway, yeah. Speaking of the Browns, they made news for trading out of 2. Took Mason Graham, which is a pick that's been applauded by everyone at 5. Then get Shedeur Sanders in the 5th round, which became the talking point of the entire draft. Here's GM Andrew Berry talking about that selection and everything going on with it.
We felt like it got to a point where he was probably mispriced relative to the draft. You know, really the acquisition cost was pretty light, and it's a guy that we think, you know, can outproduce his draft slot. So I wouldn't say it's any more than that. You know, obviously Shedeur has kind of grown up in the spotlight, but, you know, our expectation is for him to come in here and work and compete. Nothing's been promised. Nothing will be given.
Yeah, he probably, you know, for a 5th-round pick, you got great value. And they traded up to get him for that. Were they anticipating drafting 2 quarterbacks? No. But if you follow your board, he was probably standing out like a sore thumb on their board. And it's like, you know, why not? I mean, we've sucked at quarterback for so long.
And wow.
So why not take another one that, you know, we liked? So I think it... To me, Bob, it was smart by them because they don't have a guy, you know, and hopefully if one of those 2 rookies can step up and be the guy, that's only going to – that'll benefit the Browns franchise. Otherwise, you know, they have Jacksonville's one next year, and if they don't have a good quarterback this year, Cleveland, they're going to be picking high. And if it's not in the top five, two ones, they can kind of move up in that direction.
And you said this a couple of days ago with Sanders himself, fifth-round draft pick, you know, the circus is going to come to town. There's going to be a lot of, once he meets with the media and their rookie camps next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You thought, what are you, if they even make him available to the media, I mean, I don't know what Cleveland's plans are there, but, you know, come in a little humble. Maybe don't parade around like you were the first pick of the draft and go out there. I'm not saying he doesn't work hard. I don't know this guy. But bust your ass and, you know, if you play well, everything else will take care of itself.
No doubt. I did see some social media posts, Bob, where he was running hills in Cleveland, you know, so, and didn't have jewelry on and all that, you know, so, I mean, he was working. So, it'll be interesting to see, because if he thought he was the first pick of the draft, show it. You know, now he's got the opportunity. Go win the job.
And speaking of Shador, the prank call.
Yeah.
Came from the son of the DC. The Falcons were fined
$250,000
and $100,000 to Jeff Olbert.
Yes.
There. And if I'm dopey if, son.
Yeah, if I'm Jeff, I'm saying, listen, buddy, you cost us $100,000.
Yeah. $100,000 I'm never gonna see. They're just gonna take it right out of my check.
Yeah, it goes to charity, so you get a tax write-off. That's the only thing.
Yeah, and it ain't going to be our charity here, but still. And Abdul Carter was prank called as well. So the NFL, I would think, we'll talk to Ryan Wilson about this in a second from CBSSports.com, do a better job of keeping these secret phone numbers, you know, secret.
Yeah.
Because that became a kind of a debacle for everyone involved.
Well, a lot of times, Bob, like when I was doing and stuff, like when the scouts would go and they talk to the player, I mean, you ask them, what's your draft day phone number? You know, so like even the scouts had it at that time. So I don't know. You know, Ryan would know better than I because it's been 12.
I believe they give them special phones, not their normal cell phone. Phones allocated from the league so that only the NFL GMs, coaches, etc. are able to get in touch with you. So, like, for instance, you're on your regular cell phone and you're getting a call from, you know, the Colts going to pick you five, and then a telemarketer's hitting you up at the same time. Hey, your credit card bills, Discover, blah, blah, blah. So they give them their own little, like a bat phone sort of thing.
That's new, too.
But how did they get those numbers? I think they got it off the iPad of the coach there.
Yep. That's why he got fired $100,000.
Yeah, and then it was funny. Goodell was getting booed. Mel Kiper was losing his mind.
Yeah.
Oh, the draft. What a fun time that was. When we come back, speaking of the draft, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Talk about that one and next year's, I guess. And then American League East report, what happened in the division last night, what's happening today, and an updated look at the standings. The Orioles are still in last place, not where we thought they would be at the end of April. With a guy we haven't spoken to in a couple of weeks because he's been consumed with it, from CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's our friend and yours. He's Ryan Wilson. Ryan, get to take a breather yet, or are you back at it already?
No, I was just telling Nolan, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. Case up there. And I'm already working on 2026. And I was right before you guys called, I was watching my first quarterback.
Oh, God.
I'm watching 2026 is John Mateer. And that guy, I know nothing about him. He transferred from Washington State to Oklahoma. That guy is going to be a lot of fun. He is a wild ride. So there's a lot to get through. But, yeah, I'm back at it, guys. I'm back at it.
All right. Let's get to, first of all, Sanders and everything that went along with that drama. Our buddy Mel Kiper losing his mind on national TV multiple times, as a matter of fact. Cleveland trading out a number two. But the crank call, Sanders, Abdul Carter, there were a couple of other players who got pranked as well, like it's like the Jerky Boys or the Howard Stern Show. How in the hell does this happen? Because isn't it a protocol here down the NFL, Ryan, where they get like secret phones? It's not their normal phone where you get telemarketers calling you 50 bazillion times a day, where this is only you and I know this number, but apparently that's not the case, it seems.
First of all, Bob, shout out for Casey Kasem and Jerky Boys.
Yes.
In the first minute of our conversation. I was explaining my 13-year-old the Jerky Boys. He goes, how did they get away with it? Well, it's a whole conversation about cell phones and landlines. But, well, we know what happened in Atlanta, right? They had to issue the statement. Their DC, Jeff Albrecht, who was the interim coach for a while last year when Robert Saleh got fired with the Jets, his 21-year-old son was doing what most 21-year-old boys do, and something stupid. The problem is he got caught, and it became a whole thing. I think the Falcons are fined $200,000, and Jeff just had $100,000 taken out of his paycheck. So I'm sure that's a fun conversation around the dinner table. It does feel like it's terrible for the kids. Like, there's no two ways about it. It's awful, and I'm glad that Tyler Warren and Abdul Carter didn't have to wait long. Obviously, Shador had to wait a lot longer, and I'm sure that just added fuel to the fire that was his unforgettable draft weekend experience. But people do stupid stuff all the time, and I give the Falcons credit for owning up to it. And, you know, I'm glad that Jeff didn't lose his job, and hopefully we all can learn from it. But your point is a good one, Bob, in that I know that Shador changed his number literally days before the draft. So the fact that it was on an open iPad, it didn't matter what the number was, because Jeff's son got access to it, and then the rest is history from there. The other examples, I don't know what happened there, but I'm just glad everyone got drafted, and hopefully we can, you know, learn a lesson from it.
Ryan, your biggest surprise in the first round was?
Oh, let's see. It wasn't Jackson Dart so much. Tyleek Williams was sort of interesting, but that's only because at his pro day, he pulled his hamstring, and I thought that it was going to be a serious knee injury, and there were some concerns that he might slip a little bit because of that, even though it was a hamstring. Probably the biggest one might have been Derek Harmon going to the Steelers. Not because it was Derek Harmon, the position he played, they needed help there. But it wasn't Shador Sanders, and I kept hearing Shador would be there if Kenneth Grant wasn't. And Derek, a couple teams I talked to thought Derek might slide because of some injury issues. Clearly the Steelers felt differently. So those might be the two biggest two. The Jackson Dart thing wasn't a big surprise. We knew that the Giants liked a quarterback, and we knew it wasn't going to be Shador, and that maybe they might trade up. Other than that, it's probably the two names I mentioned, and of course Jacksonville and James Gladstone saying, you know what, man, we're going up to number two and we're going to get Travis Hunter.
Now, what did you think of what Atlanta did coming back in the first, you know, to get Pierce? I wasn't crazy about either one of their picks, to be totally honest.
Oh, man, I loved it, Vinny. And here's the thing, like, there's the off-field conversation about James Pierce and there's the on-field. If we're just having the on-field one, I'm fine with it for the Falcons giving up a future first, because they're essentially getting two first-rounders this year to play a huge position of need at edge rush. And Jalen Walker, you can move around to play him off ball as well. And then you have him on those rookie deals together for 4 years. If everything works out, instead of waiting a year to get him in 2026 or whatever. So I didn't mind it. And I know you love the Xavier Watts pick, Notre Dame guy, third round, 13 interceptions the last 2 years as a safety. I applaud them for addressing a huge need and trying to fix it. And, you know, you can quibble about whether it was too much or not enough compensation. But I was okay with it, because if those guys pan out, then I think it makes a ton of sense.
All right. Was Mike Green off most people's boards or not?
Teams I talked to weren't as concerned about him as they were as James Pierce. And James Pierce went, 20 picks higher than he did. I think if you're asking me who's a better player, I had Michael Green ranked a little bit higher. I thought he was a little bit more productive and played a little bit more with his hair on fire than James Pierce did. But clearly some teams felt differently about that, because he lasted – did he go in the second or third round?
Second, to the Ravens.
Okay. To the oh my gosh. I'm glad you reminded me. Mike Green on the field again, we can have the off-field conversation, is what the Ravens were hoping that Adafe and David Ojabo would turn into, because they were extremely raw, insanely athletic guys coming out. Mike Green is already there. Now, he may not run the 40 as fast as those guys, but I think in terms of juice off the edge, he'll be better on day one than they were probably on day one of their second seasons or third season in Ojabo's case, because of the injury in the NFL.
Now, did you think that the kicker the Ravens got, Hoop, was the best kicker, the Arizona kid?
I'm laughing, Vinny, because I didn't watch one long snapper, punter, or kicker. I only have so many hours in my day. I wasn't surprised. I was just reminded that was a sort of a story that we haven't really talked a lot about. But I'm not going to question the Ravens' track record with drafting specialists, because they've been pretty good at that. But I'm not going to lie. I don't know anything about Tyler Lupo other than he's headed to Arizona.
Now, what did you think of the Steelers and Bengals drafts?
hated the Bengals draft. Like, I didn't get it. Like, it didn't make sense to me.
Shamar Stewart, I understand.
Yeah, Shamar Stewart makes sense in that, you know, if he gets off the bus first and sends a message, that's great. But is he going to be Miles Murphy 2.0 in that he looks the part but hasn't quite put it together? He had 4.5 career sacks, 1.5 last year, and he did that at 6'5", 285, and ran a 4.59. So something's not matching up. And if the Bengals can get the most out of him, great. Then it's a steal. I don't know about taking two off-ball linebackers in the next three picks. Dylan Fairchild, the guard that took out of Georgia in third round, I actually like him. I like him a lot. I thought that's right around the place he would come off the board, and he has a chance to start. And the other pick I liked the most was Taj Brooks, their sixth-round pick at running back. He was one of my favorite players in this draft class, but I think there were some misses early on. If they hit on Shamar Stewart, great. I think Demetrius Knight's a fun linebacker, but he's 25 years old. So we'll see. In terms of the Steelers draft, I was pretty dejected on day one and day two. I had sold myself on Shador at 21, and I was worried about the Harmon injury, but the more I circle back on that, and my comp for Harmon was Keanu Benton. So at the bottom of the first round, that's fine. And if he's healthy, that's even better. And, you know, obviously he lost his mom right after he got drafted. So that's something that, you know, you don't want to wish on anyone. Caleb Johnson, tall, upright runner, didn't run particularly well, 4.57 at the combine. If you get 65% of Le'Veon Bell, which is sort of who he is, that's great. You're not going to get 100%. Jack Sawyer, I love. Yaya Black, I wasn't crazy about. Will Howard, the pick I left in the sixth round, I love that as well. So I gave their draft a B, and I think I gave the Bengals like a C or C minus. I wasn't crazy about what they did.
What draft did you like the best?
I thought the Bills, the Chiefs, I had the Ravens up there too. I thought they all absolutely crushed it. And the Ravens used all 11 of their draft picks. Buffalo had 10, ended up with 9 draft picks. But Buffalo spent their first 5 picks on defense, and their first pick on offense in round 5 was the best blocking tight end in this class. So it feels like both the Ravens and the Bills draft, it felt like to me, okay, is this the moment that they get over the Kansas City Chiefs hump? Because that's the only thing that's standing between them and the Super Bowl. Of course, the Chiefs crushed their draft as well. So maybe they made up the distance either way. But I thought it felt like perhaps this is what we'll look back on and say, okay, this is when these two teams finally figured it out against the Chiefs. Of course, you know, never say never with Kansas City, but I love what both Buffalo did and Baltimore did.
Now, if teams are looking for a quarterback for next year, Ryan, and since you've done all the work already, what is the quarterback draft like? Because everything everybody says is this next year's quarterback draft is a lot better than what we just had.
Yeah, we'll see, right? We always talk about that. Drew Aller physically looks apart. Garrett Nussmeier was looking really good until the last few games of the season where he got a little crazy at LSU, but he's coming back, so that's great. I'm going to be out on Carson Beck until Carson Beck proves to me that he can be a first-round talent. He's now at Miami. I just mentioned I was watching John Mathier. The early indications are, and this is so early to even say this, Arch Manning, it sounds like he'll be, like every other Manning, return to school. Unless he wins a national title in the Heisman and, you know, throws for 10,000 yards, maybe that will change his mind. But it feels like he's going to be a situation where we'll have to wait a year on him. Cade Klubnik, at Clemson. He was a former five-star who finished the season strong. Taylen Green at Arkansas is a really athletic player. And Lenore Sellers, the kid out of South Carolina, is going to be a fun watch because every SEC edge rusher I talked to at the combine compared him to like a miniature version of Cam Newton. So that could be something to watch. So it does feel deeper right now, but you guys know this. A lot of things can happen, good or bad, between now and 51 weeks from now in terms of how these quarterbacks shake out.
Ooh, I feel your pain. It's like watching the Orioles starting pitching every night here, 2025. Real quick, Ryan, Travis Hunter gets more snaps where? Wide receiver or cornerback?
Wide receiver. You don't trade up to two to take a cornerback. And you'll use him on defense, but I think he's going to be opposite Brian Thomas Jr. in that offense. Suddenly feels like it has an ability to turn the corner with Liam Cohen there and hopefully T-Law healthy.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joins us every Wednesday. It's Vinny and Haney. Say hi to Arch Manning for us, Ryan.
You got it.
There's Ryan Wilson, everybody. We'll come back. American League East report. What happened in the division outside of the Orioles getting clobbered? And what's the schedule looking like today? And an updated look at the standings. And then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw before Inside Access takes over, too. Then it's Baltimore baseball tonight on this beautiful Wednesday. Live from Pickles, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Me, Ryan Ripken, and Nolan McGraw. What more do you want?
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
The Rays.
Buffalo.
closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Top of your AL East report here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Orioles last night, they get destroyed by the Yankees 15-3. Five runs in the first for New York. First three guys hit home runs. Another was added. Bellinger goes on to the flag court. Orioles didn't get a hit until the sixth inning. Kyle Gibson in his return to Baltimore did not go well. Three and two thirds, 11 hits, 9 runs, all of the earned variety. Charlie Morton pitched in relief, pitched well. Looking for a positive there. Gunnar Henderson went deep in a losing effort. Orioles were 0 for 4. Runners in scoring position. Committed 3 errors. Other than that, a great night at the yard. If you're a Yankee fan, so Baltimore tries to regroup today. They could win the series. Let me stress that. They win tonight. Yesterday's loss, well, it still stings, but they win the series. Last day of April. Orioles going to finish with a losing month. Third full month with a losing record going back to last July 1st of the last 4 full months they've played. It is what it is. They're not a very good baseball team right now. Their run differential is minus 50. Second worst in the major leagues next to only the Colorado Rockies. But it's Cade Povich tonight, 1-2 with a 5.04, coming off the best start of his season. Veteran Carlos Carrasco, righty, he's on the hill for New York, 2-1 with a 5.26, or 5.76, excuse me, 6.35 first pitch. So the Orioles, if they could get the bats alive, would be great. Something tells me Carlos Carrasco might have the best start of his season this evening. It'll be the right-handed heavy lineup, or lefty against the righty heavy lineup for Brandon Hyde, but you never know. Gotta get them runs rolling, man. They're bad defensively. Starting pitching is in disarray. Offense stinks. Bullpen's maybe not running on fumes yet, but you know that's inevitable. Gotta get something rolling here. Positivity, perhaps. Hey, we'll bring the positivity tonight at 5:30. Pickles Pub, Baltimore baseball tonight, where they have the Great Burg. Great Burg. Like yesterday when I got home, for instance, to digress a little bit, my wife's like, hey, we got your burger. I'm like, I'm really feeling a hamburger, to be honest with you, or cheeseburger. But I didn't want to be ungrateful, so I ate it, immediately regretted it, felt it this morning. And I was like, I just left a place in Pickles Pub that has arguably the best hamburger in the city.
Awesome burgers.
Man, if I want a burger, I just get one there. You know what I mean? But anyway, we're not here to talk about my poor eating habits. Let's get around. Not that that's a poor... Ah, shut up, Bob. Let's get to the other games in the division. Kansas City taking on Tampa, and the Royals, who are in town this weekend, eat one out.
Get on the ground. Throw the vacated right side. A base hit into right field. Garcia's in to score from third. Freddie Fermin has his third hit of the game, and this one drives in a crucial insurance run. The Royals are up 3-1 in the top of the ninth inning.
Royals radio on the call there. Freddie Fermin, 3-for-4 with said ribby as they win 3-1. Lorenzen gets the win. Estevez gets his 8th save of the year. Bobby Witt, 1-for-3 for that one, extended his hitting streak to 20 games. So the Royals taking out the Tampa Bay Rays. Interdivision game up at Rogers Center. Red Sox taking on the Blue Jays. And like the Yankees, Red Sox were not messing around with Toronto pitching.
They are returning the favor, and there's a swing and a high D drive center field. Varsho's backing up, turning around. See you later. That one's gone. Abreu with a 3-run shot. And the Red Sox are mauling the Blue Jays tonight.
Nesson on the call. Final score in that one was 10-2. Devers, Abreu, Duran, Bregman, Campbell all go deep. Garrett Crochet gets the win, going 7 strong. So Boston takes out Toronto 10-2. Blue Jays kind of scuffling here themselves as we wrap up the month of April. In the division tonight, Casey's at Tampa, 7:05. Boston, Toronto, 7:07. And the Yankees, Orioles, 6:35. Standings update here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Yankees, 18-12. Game and a half up on Boston. Tampa's 3.5 out. Toronto, 4.5. Orioles, 6.5. Detroit game and a half on Cleveland in the Central. KC's three back. Twinkies are five. Chicago bringing up the rear, 10.5 out. Seattle a game up on the Astros in the West. Texas 1.5. A's 2.5. Angels 4.5. They've lost four in a row. Mike Trout's hitting below 200.
Jesus.
Got a bunch of homers, but the on-base percentage, the batting average, not good. They're in last place. Mets 4.5 up on the Phillies in the East and the National League. Braves, don't look now. Atlanta's only a game below 500, 6.5 out there. Winners of 2 in a row, 8 of 10. The Nats are 8 back, and the Marlins are 8.5 out there. In the Central, the Cubbies just scoring runs left and right. Game and a half up on the Reds. Cincinnati's won 5 in a row, by the way. Brewers, they're 3 back. St. Louis, 5.5, and the Pirates are 7 out. And the Dodgers back in first place for now. In the West, they've now won 4 in a row after some scuffles there. Giants a game back. Let's see. San Diego's 1.5 out. Diamondbacks 4.5 out. And the Rockies, they've lost 8 straight. 9 of 10. They're 15.5 games out of first. 15.5 games out of first.
Wow.
And you haven't even finished the calendar month of April. There is a game in action as we speak. Cardinals 1 zip over the Reds. Top of the fifth. Cincinnati make up from a rainout last night. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse with Nolan McGraw, then Inside Access takes over at 2. BBT, live from Pickles, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, coming up at 5:30. Maryland gets a big basketball recruit yesterday. Men, Buzz Williams getting work done. Darius Adams, who had committed to UConn, he backed out of said commitment and chose Maryland over Tennessee, Michigan State, among others. I saw one comp compared him to Devin Booker, but Keith Kavanaugh, from TerrapinTimes.com, his scouting report says he is a long, fluid glider. Not overly explosive, but can score at all three levels. Is an exceptional defender, which Buzz Williams liked. Seems equally comfortable at both one and the two. Needs to bulk up, pretty thin. Solid handle. Great size at 6'5". So welcome to College Park, Darius Adams, who said social media understands the tradition and the history here at the University of Maryland. And remember yesterday, Joe Lunardi had Maryland as a 10 seed before that happened. So, as we talked about with Walt Williams an hour or so ago, going from, hey, we expect them to suck, to now a team they were kind of looking at roster-wise, remaking literally the entire roster as a team that, you know, could be dancing next year. Get your dancing shoes, Nolan.
It's good to be in the conversation because that stuff does matter. I mean, it doesn't earn you any extra wins when the season rolls around, but being in the forefront of the minds of the media, the people that vote on the AP poll and everything, if Maryland's being brought up this time of year, the talking about recruits, the transfer portal class, Buzz Williams, his effect, all of that stuff matters to get you a preseason ranking that gives you a little cachet to work with early in the season. You can build on that instead of trying to prove yourself to the committee that, hey, we actually matter here, pay attention to us. They're already looking at you.
Now, yesterday, before we get to the funhouse, getting to the Orioles, you thought, you were hoping Kyle Gibson would give him 5-3, whatever it is. Instead, he gave up 5 in the first, you know, 7 batter he faced or whatever. It was an ugly, brutal thing. Kate Povich, up to the challenge tonight. At least keep him in the game, hopefully.
Right. I'm hesitant to give a prediction after what happened yesterday, but oddly enough, I do feel pretty good about them winning the game tonight, more so because of what Carrasco's been. Very inconsistent. Deepest he's gone in a game is 5 1/3. And it's not just a this year thing for him. I mean, he hasn't been good since he left Cleveland the first time. So seems like he's not left-handed either. So all the signs point to the Orioles having a shot offensively. And I like what Povich did last time out.
Yeah, it's going to be in the 80s. So that means the ball's going to be flying around Camden Yards tonight. So maybe we'll get a slugfest and the Orioles could actually participate instead of watching the other team score all the runs. Nolan, you ready to go to the funhouse? Going to find out.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here, Texter says, I'm far from a doom and gloom guy, but let's just say for the sake of argument that Adley, Gunner, and others are performing closer to who they actually are right now. How can you go from those previous career highs that they set to just average at best Were we too quick to crown them as perennial all-stars and MVP candidates?
I don't think so, because they both came in, Adley especially, with a big rep. He won Golden Spikes in college as the player of the year, won a College World Series, was second, I believe, in the Rookie of the Year voting when he came up and only played 5 months of that season, made two all-star teams, was a starter last year, and deservedly so, probably should have started in 23, but he has fallen off the cliff. Garner was Rookie of the Year, MVP candidate for most of last year. And, you know, these guys are legit. Garner's going to come out of it. Adley, I'm more skeptical, shall we say. And yeah. Westbrook's loss, let's not forget, that's been kind of doom and gloom. And Kowser hasn't played since the first series of the year. Let's not forget, guy that could make an argument should have been Rookie of the Year last year.
Joe in Baltimore says it's ridiculous hearing people talk about the whole it's early, still April argument. This mediocre play has been going on since last year, as we know. Also, is it just me, but where is Mike Elias hiding? I remember during winning streaks in the past, he has a lot of FaceTime, doing a lot of interviews. But where has he been these last 2 weeks? Nowhere to be found.
Usually he pops up when there's injury news to get into, which he did, I think, last homestand, if I'm not mistaken. And it kind of came. It was the day I'm sitting in the media room waiting for Hyde, and he never showed up because he was in the dugout. They were all in the dugout talking to Mike Elias. He's going to have to pop up sooner or later. I mean, you're a month in, as the texter said. We mentioned it to the point of nauseam. Since July 1st, they've been a bad team. Record speaks for itself.
Some thoughts here on Brandon Hyde, potential hot seat. Texter says, worst thing to happen to the Orioles for the long haul was they got better a year or so ahead of schedule, and Hyde got to hang around because of it. He's terrible at managing this team. One good year in charge of the Orioles.
What year was that?
23, I guess, where they won 100 games.
Did they make the playoffs last year? Didn't he win Sporting News Manager of the Year in 2022?
He's won it, what, a couple years?
Sporting News gave it to him twice.
Yeah.
Consecutively. We all thought, hey, I'm not lying, he was the bridge guy. Because Houston, Porter bridged A.J. Hinch. Elias connection there. But no, he's the dude, and they're tied to the hip. My prediction is, and keep in mind I'm usually wrong, just look at my NCAA bracket every year. Neither gets fired this year, but could enter next season in hot seat. And David Rubenstein will be on the hot seat from some of the fans. All right, you want to spend money? Got to spend it now. And they do.
I think, Bob, if they don't have a winning record this year, somebody will go.
Them hitting coaches, boy.
Again. Pitching coach.
Bench coach. You're gonzo.
Pitching coach. You got no talent, but it's your fault. Yeah.
Turn them into the 71 Orioles, why don't you?
And the last one here says, what have you realistically seen that shows this team is actually fighting for Brandon Hyde or that they actually like him? They might say the right thing in the media, but body language and results tell a whole different story.
I mean, there's more to it. I mean, I'm not in the clubhouse, but others are, and the respect level is obvious there. So it goes beyond, you know, slumping back to the dugout after an 0-for-4, 3 Ks. I mean, he's still respected by all accounts in said clubhouse. But at the end of the day, when the losses start to mount, you know, it's never the player's fault. Hey, remember last year when the defense sucked and Marlon Humphrey had to come to the defense of Zach Orr saying, hey, he's scheming us up. We're just playing bad. I think that's how the Orioles feel about themselves right now. Look in that mirror a little bit and see what you see.
Could be.
All right, we're back tomorrow. Total Request Thursday, so you don't want to miss that. BBT tonight, me, Nolan, and Ryan Ripken, live for Pickles, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Come on down and say hello. And the Caps tonight, when we're talking tomorrow, are they advancing or are they going to Montreal for six?
I think they'll be advancing. They're going to be playing Carolina, you know, probably next Monday, something like that. But I think Ovi going to get one tonight.
For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.